To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of the sun setting over Lake Ontario, viewed through icicle bars, comes to us from Rocco Saya of Celestial Blue Photography, who used his Cricut cam on the lake for the first time on Wednesday to capture the scene by getting down low and taking the shot from underneath a tree branch to prove that the sun still exists and that sometimes we can find beauty and wonder in this world when we change our perspective. Well, it's Friday, thank God, and I'm experiencing that shift in perspective that rejoices because the weekend is one work tour away, and if the Lord wills it, I'll be heading up to my countryside home to reunited with my wife tonight. I do have to give everyone a heads up, though, that even though we will make it to the weekend when work ends, the machinations of men will cause us to lose 1 hour of our time off as we will spring forward by setting the clocks ahead in the early morning hours on Saturday night or Sunday morning, depending on your perspective. In my pre-Christ addicted past, I would have seen this as a loss, as my Saturday night binge drinking revelry would have been curtailed a bit. But now I've left that bondage behind and am no longer a night owl, I see it as a gain, as I will get to my morning prayers and Bible study that much sooner. Our perspective can make all the difference when it comes to experiencing joy and peace. Seeing things as the Lord sees them and knowing that He is in control provides an abiding sense of peace, meaning, and purpose to life, whereas viewing the world through the eyes of men who don't know God causes us to have no hope, because from that perspective, the good old days are dwindling, and the bad old days of suffering and death are quickly approaching, causing you to be fearful or bitter. But let me remind us all, that view is no longer ours, as we know that we have eternal security in Christ, and every passing day brings us closer to discovering the glory of being in His presence, in His presence forevermore. As I edit, my bad. Anyway, there is nothing to be afraid of when you are in Christ. Jesus showed everyone that He conquered death and the grave, and because we put our faith in Him, we will one day share in that victory as we enter into His kingdom in eternity. But we get more good news because Christ also came to give us life more abundantly while we are here on the earth. And when we decide to follow Him by walking in the Spirit, our lives become a never-ending adventure that is marked by peace, love, and joy. So let's go get it. Let's follow the Lord to where He leads and see what's next as we continue with our current series as we are walking through the season of Lent, now on day 15 of the 40-day journey with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. As a reminder, and as we will say each day of this journey, we take this path to mark the season of Lent and to draw closer to God in anticipation for the celebration of Easter, knowing that if we take this journey of repentance seriously, we will not only see the days and seasons change, the Lord will use it to change us too. You can sign up to get this devotional yourself by going to the Bible Gateway link on the blog. But for today, we start day 15. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, "This does not refer to God's righteousness, but to suffering for the sake of a righteous cause. Suffering because of the righteous judgment and action of Jesus' disciples. In judgment and action, those who follow Jesus will be different from the world in renouncing their property, happiness, rights, righteousness, honor, and violence. They will be offensive to the world. That is why the disciples will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Not recognition, but rejection will be their reward from the world for their word and deed. It is important that Jesus calls His disciples blessed, not only when they directly confess His name, but also when they suffer for a just cause." End quote. Well, it might not be surprising, but today's passage correlates with Matthew 5:5, the biblical wisdom that's presented today. And the words of Jesus say, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The questions to ponder that they present, the first question is, what do you think of Bonhoeffer's assertion that disciples will be offensive to the world? Well, as I stated above about perspective, how annoying are those who know that they are saved and have the answers to life and death to a world that doesn't believe in God or that doesn't know that you can know God and the truth that he has given us? Our joy is an offense, but so is our conviction that God's word is true and that we will be held accountable for the way we live our lives according to what it says. The word tells us about sin and about Jesus, and the world is offended by the implications of both because they refuse to surrender to Christ's lordship. Our presence as Christians is an offense, an offensive reminder of the facts that they have rejected in fear are true. There we go. And the next question in the study is, why is it today that the world often seems more indifferent to Christians and the church than offended by them? Well, true indifference would indicate spiritual blindness. Anyone indifferent to the gospel has decided it isn't true, thus making Christianity a myth or a fairy tale, and no self-respecting, quote-unquote, logical adult would concern themselves with fantasy. Instead, the indifferent would see life as a mystery, with the vague hope of a continuation of life, twisting God's truth, or they would admit to the meaninglessness of their logical, godless universe, with the eventual erasure of their personal life, and ultimately all life, as the universe logically will fade to black. The indifferent aren't offended because they have decided that Christians are deluded and wrong. But one day they will weep as they learn that Jesus Christ is Lord and they have no place in his kingdom. The final question of the questions to ponder is, in what way is a disciple blessed when he or she suffers for a just cause? Disciples are blessed when we suffer for a just cause, particularly the cause of sharing the gospel or doing the good works that God has prepared for us to do, because it is the fruit of our faith. Our suffering for a good cause demonstrates the authenticity of our faith and gives glory to God. I know I personally didn't have a lot of motivation to do good prior to Christ, and I can point to the suffering I have experienced and the good works that I may have played a part in as the evidence of the transformed life I have experienced because of Christ in me. The suffering reminds us of our blessed conditions, and we, like the apostles before us, should consider our trials joy when we suffer for the cause of Christ. The next part of the study is a psalm fragment, and today's psalm fragment is Psalm 112:6-9, and the psalmist says, "For the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever." Forgive the distributed freely. They've given freely. That's it. We will be remembered forever from the world, well, in God's kingdom. That's what's going to last forever. And we're not afraid of evil tidings because our hearts are firm and secure in the Lord, as the psalmist says. You know, so our hearts are steady when we know who we are in Christ, and we will not be afraid when we know we are in Christ's kingdom, that we have been saved. In the end, we'll look up in triumph on our foes, and we just react from the blessing that we've received in Christ. That's my commentary on the psalm, I guess. And then we move on to the next section is journal reflections, which prompt us to write about a time when you suffered for doing the right thing. Reflect on your feelings about that experience. I can point to the lost relationships and mild persecution I've experienced because of my decision to follow Christ as my suffering for doing the right thing. The change in me personally and my zeal for sharing the gospel is an offense to this world, and even though I am happy with what the Lord has done in my life, I would be lying if I told anyone that it didn't come with a cost, a painful cost, but one I would gladly pay again and again, as I know that doing the right thing, of putting my faith in Christ, has blessed me beyond measure, continues to bless me, and gives me the assurance of life everlasting in his kingdom. So, yeah, that's my reflection. His love makes it worth it all. The final journal prompting is directs us to consider, have you ever held back from doing the right thing because you were afraid of rejection or suffering? If so, reflect on how it felt to hold back. I can't imagine there'd be anybody who never held back from doing the right thing. I suppose there could be, but I'm not perfect. So that's why I find it hard to believe that anyone would hold back from doing the right thing because they were afraid of rejection or suffering. We're only human after all, although we're now in Christ. Let's see what I had to say. I am sure I have held back from doing the right thing because of fear of rejection and suffering. I am somewhat of a people pleaser, and being an offense is not fun. I don't want to rain on someone's parade by pointing out their errors and how they are in mortal danger of eternity in hell. Also, I suffer from mild social anxiety at times, that's putting it mildly, and I don't want to stand out and may have shied away from doing the right thing because I would have to speak up and risk being rejected. However, I am a work in progress, and I am a little less prone from not doing the right thing simply because I walk in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's guidance compels me to do the right thing. I have deep regrets and little peace if I wantonly neglect doing the right thing, and often find myself going back and doing the right thing after having decided not to, which causes a fair amount of shame, but ultimately gives me a great peace because I went back and corrected myself when and where I could. So yeah, you never regret doing the right thing, you usually, even if you suffer for Christ's cause, you really regret it when you don't do the right thing. So, you know, don't be like me and shy back from doing the right thing because you're afraid of rejection and suffering. Do the right thing and, follow the Lord and see what that is. His word gives you a big hint on that, by the way. For the intercessions section of today's study, they ask you to think of people you know or know of who are suffering for righteousness' sake. Pray that they might receive courage and comfort from their faith, and that they might prevail. Okay, and if someone asks you to pray, what do? You pray right away, right then and there. That way you don't forget, and you're faithful to the prayer request. We're going to pray that prayer. Lord God, I pray for my fellow Christians who suffer for righteousness' sake. I pray that they will receive courage and comfort from the assurances that come from their faith in Jesus Christ, and that they prevail over the situations they are facing. I also pray for those who suffer because of their beliefs in justice and mercy, but who don't know Jesus Christ. I pray for them to not only be delivered from the suffering they are experiencing on earth, but I pray that their eyes and hearts be open to the author of justice and mercy, and to put their faith in Jesus Christ, to know what real righteousness is, and to be saved from the righteous judgment that would send them to eternal suffering. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And finally, the prayer for today, Lord, give me the wisdom to know what is right, and make me willing to suffer for a just cause. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, that was day 15 of the 40-day journey with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. We're not quite to the halfway point yet, But we are one day closer to spring, as today is March 10th. And spring, according to my calendar, starts on the 20th. And prayerfully, the weather will agree with that and come sooner than the 20th. But I haven't watched the weather, so I have no idea if that's in the forecast or not. But we're praying for it in faith that spring will come. Daylight savings times might cause us, a loss of an hour, but it'll mean, the sun will set that much later. So we'll get more daylight, I guess. So it's Friday. Let's thank God. Let's pray for, let's just pray, I guess. Before that, let me remind you, we always invite you to go to mtforchrist.org, where we always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today, we continue sharing from A.W. Pink's The Sovereignty of God, and maybe because I was going to pray, I'm reminded that we're sharing from Chapter 9, which is entitled God's Sovereignty and Prayer. So if you wanted to see what A.W. Pink has to say about prayer and how he addresses the first, prayer, why we have to pray, and things to do with prayer, go to mtforchrist.org, and you'll see that resource at the end of today's blog post. So we found these books, these studies helpful in our walk, and we share them to encourage others to draw close to God, to maybe learn something you didn't know. You see something, say something. And I read The Sovereignty of God a while back, and it gives you great assurance that God's in control. God is sovereign, and we need to know that. And so as we go today, we'd like to thank the Lord for giving us another subscriber on the YouTube channel. Amen. And it doesn't look like he's from maybe an international viewer. So we're touched by that. And thank you, Lord, also for someone reaching out and asking for the materials to the Bondage Breaker study. As a reminder, basically, we provide discipleship classes that we taught back in 2021 at our local church on the podcast and our YouTube channel. The classes were Victory Over the Darkness, The Bondage Breaker, and Freedom in Christ, which are all based on the Word of God and Dr. Neil Anderson's books. And basically, we provide the study guides and handouts that we gave out in class free of charge via email if you reach out to me and ask for them. And you can reach me at mtforchrist247@gmail.com, and I'll send you those Word docs. And you can do the study, you listen to the podcast, watch the podcast, reflect on the material and or read the books and reflect on the material and draw closer to God. Learn who you are in Christ and discover your freedom in Christ through those. And so we put it out there and people keep clicking on it. So we're very happy. We're humble. It's not, we're not exactly making money on YouTube or anything. We're not monetized. But we just, if we can encourage one person to discover their freedom and victory in Christ, it's worth it. And that's our ministry here at mtforchrist.org. And the MT for Christ 24/7 podcast is to encourage people to walk in the Spirit and follow the Lord every day of their lives, and to know the Lord more, because you can, and He blesses your life when you walk in the Spirit. So now I think we should pray. There's other materials, obviously, out there. We do also provide a Bible study with Arthur and Susanna Cincotti. We encourage people to check those out, too. And most importantly, we just encourage you to walk and talk with God every day. So let's do that in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. Thank God that it's Friday. Lord, we just pray for you to move us through this workday with your grace and your provision. Lord, guide our path so we can do the best job we can do today and rejoice in your presence while we do it. Lord, we pray for anyone who's listening or watching or listening to this podcast that you would bless them and their walk. Lord, that you would come alongside them in their prayer request and open their eyes to who you are and what you want them to do in their lives. Lord, we need your guidance and we need your love, and we're blessed when we receive it. And so we're asking, and we know when we ask that you'll bring it. So we're asking for it today. We pray for you to open our eyes to the things you want us to see. We pray for you to move us into the things you'd have us do. And Lord, we just want to represent you on the earth. And we want you to know, Lord, that we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. And we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.